This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Amma ba'du. Now reach the chapter in this ta'limul, or the summarized, edited ta'limul muta'allim, tariqat al-ta'allum. We reach the chapter on fil jiddi wal muwadabati wal himma. So this chapter, inshallah, will be discussing al-jidd, persistence, and muwadaba, same thing, sort of a consistency. So persistence being serious, and consistency and himma, having an aspiration to accomplish something, actually something, with your life or with seeking knowledge. And this is, you're going to see, inshallah, some of the adab and some of the benefits, in fact, some of the wisdom that go beyond simply and only learning Islam. It's about learning anything, okay? So it's these principles apply to everything, and they even go beyond that to wisdom about life itself and what it means, etc., etc. You'll see, inshallah. So he said here, rahimahullah, ثُمَّ لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْجِدِّ وَالْمُوَضَبَةِ وَالْمُلَازَمَةِ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. He says, the seeker of knowledge, especially religious knowledge, he must be serious about it and must be consistent and must adhere to it for him to be able to accomplish anything in it. And he says, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Qur'an, he cites this as evidence, he says, Ya Yahya, خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal speaking to his prophet Yahya alayhi salam, he says, Oh Yahya, hold on to the book seriously. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. And then also Allah is saying, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive in our path will guide them to our way. So those two ayahs tell you something. The first one, Ya Yahya, خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ. Ya Yahya, take the book seriously. That is, this book, which is Allah's revelation that was given to Yahya alayhi salam, is as if you want to apply it, if you want to benefit with what is in it, you got to take it seriously. Take it seriously in terms of what? Belief. Believe in it seriously. And also take it seriously in terms of practice. But even before practice, in terms of study and in terms of understanding. So you believe in it and you try to understand it and you try to extract from it the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla and what He wants from you in it, and then practice it seriously. And any book and any profession, any way in life that is valuable, in order for it to actually bring fruit, you must be take it seriously. If you don't take it seriously, you're not going to get anything from it, right? So if someone, for instance, and the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla is just like medicine. So if there's this medicine that you need to take each day, a doctor will take it, will tell you what? Be serious about this. Meaning what? Don't skip one day, because that's going to harm you. Don't, for instance, think that you're not going to be able to take it and you'll be fine. No, you actually need to take this every single day. So be serious about it. Be serious about believing that you need it, about the benefits that are in it, and about it taking it every single day. So Ya Yahya is, in other words, this is not a playing matter. So anything that is important in life needs to be taken seriously, and otherwise, you're going to lose it, right? So he says, خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Those who strive in our path, we'll guide them to our way. So when you are learning the Quran and learning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is a form of jihad or not? That is a form of jihad. Learning is a form of jihad. In fact, you can say it's the basis of all other jihad. Seeking knowledge is the basis for all other jihad, because no other jihad, physical jihad, or even jihad with your wealth, can proceed without person knowing what to spend, how much to spend on and what, or when to fight, and the limits of fighting, right? So that basis of jihad in Islam is knowledge itself, and striving to learn, and striving to reform yourself, and through teaching, striving to reform other people. That is the basis of jihad. And that is the greatest of jihad. That is the greatest of jihad. And the person may be able to actually achieve through teaching people, learning Islam and teaching people, the level of the shuhada or even higher, if they have the proper intention. So, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا. If you strive, you'll be guided. That means what? That if you don't strive, There will be deficiency in what? Guidance. You with me? Because if you strive in Allah's path, because seeking knowledge is not always the easiest thing to do in terms of persistence, in terms of being consistent with it, and at the same time, in terms of practice. It's not the easiest thing. Because once you start, there'll always be distractions. Always be distractions. So to be able just to focus and tune everything out and just do what Allah Azza wa Jal wants when seeking knowledge, when everybody else is just playing with life and enjoying life, but you're serious about this, that's not easy to do. Right? And the more serious the pursuit of knowledge, the less and less people will be interested in it. The more serious it is. But if it is fun and trivial, then more and more people will be interested. But if it is really serious, then less and less people will be interested, because people are not willing to strive and put an effort. And even understanding, it's not always available. And even when you understand, to apply what you've understood, that's not always easy. To select, the select among humanity are those who are guided to the practice of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and the pursuit of the religion of Allah. And then he says, there's here a piece of poetry. He says, and if this could be read in two ways, I'll explain them inshallah to you. The first way is, بِجَدٍ لَا بِجِدٍ كُلُّ مَجْدِي فَهَلْ جَدٌ بِلَا جِدٍ بِمُجْدِي. Right? So he says, بِجَدٍ لَا بِجِدٍ كُلُّ مَجْدِي. So this is one way of reading it. He says, it is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Any accomplishment in life, it is a gift from Allah. بِجَدٍ لَا بِجِدٍ. This is not simply only by your actions, by your striving, but it's a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. بِمَجْدٍ بِجَدٍ لَا بِجِدٍ. Not by your effort. كُلُّ مَجْدِي. Every accomplishment. But then he says, فَهَلْ جَدٌ بِلَا جِدٍ بِمُجْدِي. But would an accomplishment or lineage or honor that you inherit without an effort actually accomplish anything? So he's saying here, according to this reading of that verse, he's saying you must have two things able for you to accomplish anything. One, a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal, guidance, success, facilitation. But that needs from you effort. And if you have this effort and Allah's guidance, then you'll be able to accomplish. So that's one way of reading it. The other way of reading it is, بِجِدٍ لَا بِجَدٍ كُلُّ مَجْدِي. Meaning that every accomplishment and honor happens through an effort of yours, not simply you being born into it. Right? Are you born a doctor? If your parents are a doctor, shouldn't I be able to practice? What do you think? Should I be able to practice if my parents are doctors? No, right? So should I be able to draw plans for buildings if my parents are architects? No. So I inherit being an alim just because my family were ulama? No. Even if our name is synonymous with knowledge. I'm son of so-and-so. Who is son of so-and-so? And they were scholars. I'm not going to inherit this. So to be able to actually have knowledge is bijid, la bijad, meaning your effort is needed. As he says, فَكَمْ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقُومُ مَقَامَ حُرٍّ وَكَمْ مِنْ حُرٍّ يَقُومُ مَقَامَ عَبْدٍ. How many a slave that are actually like free men, and how many free men are actually like slaves? And what does he mean by this? He means typically, right, at the time when they were slavery, the slave typically is well-educated or not? What do you think? Well-educated, he goes to schools, no, has tutors, and no, right? Is he skilled? He may have some skills, right? But he's generally very skilled and knowledgeable and versed. No, he's not. So he says typically, right, a slave does not have the opportunities that a free man will have. But he says at the same time, you will see that a person could be born a slave, but through an effort, be much more intelligent than a free man. And a free man is born a free man, and he has the opportunities, like somebody born today. And you have the money, the opportunity. And you have the education, the opportunity. And you can accomplish a lot. All the opportunities are there. But he shuns all of that and becomes an idiot. That's what he's talking. A free man was simply like a slave. Or a slave was like a free man. So it doesn't matter where you come from. It's your effort that changes your situation. So you become a better human being or a worse human being. فالله had given you the opportunities, but he did not take advantage of them. And then he says, من طلب شيئا وجد وجد. He says, if you go and seek something and you are consistent and persistent, you'll find it. If you give up, you won't. ومن قرع الباب ولج ولج. He says, and the one who knocks on the door and is persistent in knocking, he'll get in. Meaning what? Do not give up. Do not give up. And he says, بقدر ما تتعنى تنال ما تتمنى. This is true in life. As much as you strive and you get tired striving, you will be able to attain what you wish for. Especially if what you wish for is hard. Is really up there. You're not going to be able to get it by simply wishing it. I want to be a alim. I want to have that skill. I want to be rich. You can dream about all of these things. But they're not going to come simply by dreaming. So you have to put an effort. And sometimes you look at this thing and you say, it's just a lot of work, isn't it? I don't want to put that much effort. I just rather to sit comfortably and enjoy my life. I don't want to put that effort. But yet, I want to be great and achieve greatness. He says, you won't be able to have both. He'll be saying this shortly. You won't be able to have both. If you want to accomplish something great, you got to get tired to get it. And the more that you get tired trying to reach something great, the more that you will get it. So this is life. It's not going to give you what it has until you pay the price. And paying the price, including in seeking knowledge, in talabul ilm, in memorizing the Quran, in memorizing the hadith, in understanding them, requires a lot of your time, a lot of your concentration. So بِقَدْرِ مَا تَتَعَنَّ تَنَالُ مَا تَتَمَنَّ. So the more that you get tired, the more that you're going to be comfortable later. And if you decide to be comfortable now, you're going to be tired later. With me? So if you decide that I want to be tired now, later on in life, but definitely in the hereafter, you're going to be comfortable. And if you decide to be comfortable now, I don't want to do this, it's hard, I don't want to do that, it's difficult, then later on in life or in the hereafter will be more difficult. Now, then he has also some verses of poetry, and there is some benefit in it, that's why I read them. He says, الجد يدني كل أمر شاسعي والجد يفتح كل أمر مغلق. So he said, by persistence, anything that seems far is near. And everything that is closed will open. Right? And he says, وَأَحَقُّ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْهَمِّ مْرُؤٌ ذُو هُمَّةٍ يُبْلَى بِعَيْشٍ ضَيِّقٍ. He says, the person who most deserving to be distressed is a person who has high aspirations but does not have a lot of money. That's, you want to do a lot, but you don't have a lot of opportunities or a lot of money to do it. And he says, and this is an interesting verse, and this is why I'm reading it. وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ. Evidence regarding Allah's decree, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is behind everything that is happening, and that there is wisdom behind it, or judgment of Allah behind everything that is happening. بُؤْسُ اللَّبِيبِ. The intelligent is having a difficult life. بُؤْسُ اللَّبِيبِ. Miserable life of the intelligent and wise. وَطِيبُ عَيْشِ الْأَحْمَقِ. And the foolish living comfortably. So the foolish having comfortable life, and the wise and intelligent having a difficult life. Then he says, لَكِنْ مَنْ رُزِقَ الْحِجَى حُرِمَ الْغِنَى. But the one who Allah is endows him with intelligence and wisdom, he will not attain affluence or money and wealth. ضداني, their opposite. يَفْتَرِقَانِ أَيَّ تَفَرُّقِ. Opposites that they never meet. And the last two are the ones that are interesting. He says that evidence of Allah Azza wa Jal being behind everything that you witness, behind a lot of your effort, is that you'll notice that a lot of the people who are smart and intelligent in this life are having difficult lives. Difficult in terms of what? What does he mean? Wealth. They're not wealthy. They're poor. They're struggling. But you find the foolish living comfortably. Right? So here, why does this happen? Okay, there are a couple of reasons for it. And if you think about it, you may be able to discover more. One of them is that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show us all through this, is that it's not only through your effort. But there is someone behind who gives tawfiq and facilitation to some, but does not give it to others. So that a person does not rely on his own, thinking that it is by my might and intelligence and skill as able to get all of this. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, no, even though you are smart and intelligent, but you are not successful. So then you'll learn not to trust what? Not to trust what, but to trust whom? Not to trust yourself and your effort. Because you are intelligent, and you are hardworking, and you have great ideas, but you can't make it. You can't make it. So it means that all of these are enough or not? They're not enough. And who do you need? Allah Azza wa Jal. So he wants to show you that I can give without a person deserving it, without a person working really hard for it. Here, he's foolish, but he has a lot of money. So to tell you that, it's not always based on your effort. So ask me if you want anything. So that's the first benefit in it. The second benefit in it is that it tells you that this dunya, or being wealthy and living comfortably, is not a sign of Allah's favor. If it were a sign of Allah's favor, then those who deserve it the most should get it. Who deserves it the most? The prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The ones whom Allah loves the most should get, then be the richest of people. But Allah did not make it the richest. And those who oppose the prophets of Allah and oppose Allah Azza wa Jalla are the ones who don't deserve any of this money and wealth. Yet they get it. To tell you, for Allah Azza wa Jalla to tell you, that I don't give the dunya to those that I love. I can give it to those that I love, but I can go also give it to those that I dislike. Because they dislike me, because they don't love me. So I can give it to you, but I take it away from you. And it's not a sign of my favor. It can be in your hand, but it could be taken away. And if it is taken away from you, and you are a believing person, a Muslim, pious, righteous, the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla has taken it away from you is actually good for you. Because if Allah takes it, and Allah loves you, and Allah wants the best for you when He loves you, and He takes the dunya away from you, and you can't find enough, and you're struggling, understand that this struggle is part of Allah's favor on you. And that sometimes is hard to see. How is it that Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing me as a alim? And if you go through the seerah of the ulama, past, and maybe some in the present, but in the past, you'll find that a lot of them were struggling. But it is that struggle that shaped them and made them the scholars that they were. To be able to denounce the dunya, to be able, you know, to say to it that I don't want you. I can work as a business person, a merchant. I can work, you know, for hire. I can, but I'm not doing this, and I'm giving my time lillah azza wa jal, studying this and memorizing that. To make that sacrifice and that trade is in itself jihad lillah azza wa jal. To go hungry and favor Allah azza wa jal is itself jihad. Similarly today, if a person, as I said before, is a person, okay, I'm going to, this weekend, there's some halaqa here, some halaqa there, there is explanation of this book here. I'm going to be in the masjid, in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, studying this and learning it. That is difficult. That is not easy to do, because there are 101 attractions outside that can pull you. And they are very attractive. And you know, you can tell yourself, you know, what am I learning here? Actually outside, I'm having fun with my friends, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And maybe when you're outside, subhanAllah, I mean, maybe you can get even richer, have more connections or whatever. But in the masjid, it's different. You're not going to be as rich as. You're going to be as connected as. But that is part of the trade-off that you do when you are learning the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that, yes, Ya Allah, I'm doing this for your sake. And if He denies you some of the dunya, you don't necessarily have to be poor. You know, some of the Sahaba were rich, right? Right? Some of the Sahaba were poor. And some of the Sahaba were rich. It's not like it's virtue to be poor, or virtuous to be poor. And it's not virtuous to be rich. It just depends on what you do with this and what you do with that. But if Allah decrees you are poor, then He did not give that to you because of a reason. And if you are seeking knowledge while you're doing it, know that there is precedence and you have people before who were poorer than you, but they stuck to pursuing what Allah Azza wa Jal loves. He also, another verse of poetry, he says, تَمَنَّيْتَ أَن تُمْسِيَ فَقِيهًا مُنَاظِرًا. He says, you wish that you become a scholar, a faqih, who's able to debate and talk about this and talk about that, بِغَيْرِ عَنَاءٍ, without effort. And he says, وَالْجُنُونُ فُنُونُ. And he says, insanity is of different types, meaning that he's calling this insanity. وَلَيْسَ اكْتِسَابُ الْمَالِ دُونَ مَشَقَّةٍ. He says, earning money without any effort, that you would put, that you will put, is impossible. So seeking or attaining knowledge without effort, how is this possible? So what he's saying is that you want to be a scholar, accomplished in scholarship, but without any effort, that's a form of insanity. This is like someone who wants to be rich without any effort. How is that possible? So anything that you want to get in life, you want to pay its price. You want to be rich, what do? You take your time, you take your hours, you take your life, and you sell those. And in return for what you sell, people give you money. Huh? I'm giving you, through my in my week, 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours or more. What are you giving me in return? This per hour. You're selling your hour and you're selling your life. So when you decide that you want knowledge and ilm, you got to sell your hours so that you will attain that. And he also, another piece of poetry, and there's quite a bit of them. And if I think that they are not very relevant, I will skip over them, but some of them are interesting. There's some benefit in them. وَلَمْ أَرَ فِي عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ عَيْبًا كَنَقْصِ الْقَادِرِينَ عَلَى التَّمَامِيَ. As the poet have said, he said, I have not seen a deficiency, a more glaring deficiency, عَيْبًا, in people, as the deficiency of those who are able to be complete. Meaning, you having potential, and you not realizing that potential and living without realizing it. And someone notice, looks at it, and he say, you could do so much, but you're choosing not to do. And he says, that is the greatest deficiency I saw in people. There's a difference between a person being born without an ability. They are not smart enough, or they now don't have the aptitude to learn and to memorize and to understand. They don't have the opportunities. That's fine. That's not a deficiency. Allah made you and I this way. We're incapable of this particular thing and that particular thing. And each one of us is incapable of something. We can't do everything. But when you notice someone who is able to, but does not invest in the abilities that Allah had given them, he says, this is the greatest disgrace, because you can see it right there. You're so smart, but you're not using it. You're wasting your life, or you're wasting the talents that Allah Azza wa Jal had given you. And he then also says, and these are sayings, he says, اتخذ الليل جملا تدرك به أملا. So these are some of the nice sayings that rhyme, and some of them are easy to remember. He says, take your night, or transform your night into a camel, and you will be able to reach your destination, whatever you hope for. So what does it mean to take your night as a camel? That's as you ride a camel and you go to your destination, your nights can be used to reach your destination, meaning study. Study throughout the night, I mean in moderation of course, but study throughout the night when it's quiet, there are no disturbances, and consider that it will take you time, like on a camel, right? And today we don't have patience. So we have missed that, the ability or the gift of patience, that you sit on a camel, and it will take you days to reach your destination. And you have to be patient until you reach that destination. We don't have that gift anymore. So if you want to be accomplished in anything, you're not going to do it in one night or in two nights or three nights. It's not going to come all at once. But consider it as a camel. And each night you do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. By the end of the week, by the end of the month, by the end of the year, then you'll be able to accomplish something that is very, very significant. And consider, if you want to make it into a project, if you are a person who is not used to reading, or you have a book, okay, something that is, you know, medium size, right? And you have a book and you say to yourself, I've always meant to read this book, but I've never really found the time. You know, conduct this experiment with yourself, okay? Especially if the book is easy to read, but just conduct this experiment. Give yourself each night just 10 minutes. 10 minutes, but specify a time. As before Maghrib, after Maghrib, before Isha, after Isha, before I go to bed. As long as before you go to bed, you're still awake, you can actually understand what you're reading. And said, I'm only going to read 10 minutes each night from that book. That's it. Nothing more. Can you do 10 minutes? It's pretty easy, right? Huh? Just like, that's you know, less than the time that we spend on our phone before we go to bed. Who texted me, who did not, who posted, who did not. 10 minutes, right? And that's it. But be consistent, and you'll find how much you will read by the end of the month. And the book that you thought to yourself, well, this I'll never be able to read this, now maybe in 2-3 months, or maybe in 6 months, it's done. Without you actually putting a lot of effort to read, but actually you did, because you said to yourself, every single night. Just conduct that experiment and see. Just for you to understand what he means by every bit of, a little bit every night, a little bit every night, you'll be able to reach your destination. You'll be able to finish volumes and volumes if you give yourself the opportunity. And he says, and this is verses of poetry for the author himself, مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَحْتَوِي أَمَالَهُ جُمَلًا فَلْيَتَّخِذْ لَيْلَهُ فِي دَرْكِهَا جَمَلًا. Meaning that when he wants to, if you want to attain all of what you want, then consider your night as a camel. And then he says, and that's one extra advice, أَقْلِلْ طَعَامَكَ كَيْ تَحْظَى بِهِ سَهَرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ يَا صَاحِبِ أَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْكُمَلَ. He says, if you want to be able to have, to be alert at night, so that you can read and can study, then don't eat as much. Huh? So decrease your intake of food. Doesn't mean to starve yourself, obviously, right? But don't stuff yourself. Because if you stuff yourself, you become so full, you don't have energy to do anything else. You just simply want to sleep. But he says, don't stuff yourself so that you will have the energy, in fact, to study and to memorize and to read and all of that, and you'll be able to reach the highest of stations, bi'idhnillah. And he says, من أسهر نفسه بالليل فقد فرح قلبه بالنهار. He says, if you toil at night, you'll be happy in the morning. If you toil at night, meaning that you really put effort at night, in the morning you'll be happy. Now, why is that? Why would you be happy in the morning? Because you can look back at it and say, I did something last night. Right? And listen, and then that toil, that pain, that fatigue that you felt last night, now after you sleep is gone, it's just memory. But now what you have is I've been able to finish this much. I've been able to accomplish that much. So in the morning you'll have energy and you want to do it again. Because now you have a sense of, you've tasted accomplishment. Now you also want to do it again. So this is part of the bounty, the reward that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to people, is that here, do something and you will be rewarded with it, inshallah. But once you know, you realize how blessed you are that you'll be able to accomplish it. He says, and the seeker of knowledge must be persistent in studying and in repetition in the beginning of the night and in the end of the night. He says, مَا بَيْنَ الْعِشَاءَيْنِ, about what is between Maghrib and Isha, and the time of Sahar, okay, the last part of the night, is waqtun mubarak, it's a blessed time. So he's talking about through experience. That is these times, especially the night, when it's really calm. So he says, between Maghrib and Isha, okay, that is a good time for ibadah in general, and that is a good time for study. And also late at night, when you wake up and you're fresh and there are no distractions, and you're able to read and concentrate. And some people, you know, recommend that night for that time for memorization. If you really want to memorize something early on, early in the day. So wake up before Fajr, or if you can do it after Fajr, you're still early, bright, and you have all of your energy with you. And none of the distractions of the day have crept into your mind. You're not worried about this, you're not worried about that. So memorize at that time. He says that's one of the best times to be able to study and the best times to be able to memorize. He says, يَا طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ, he says, O seeker of knowledge, he says, this is some of the things that will help you. بَاشِرِ الْوَرَعَى, be pious of Allah Azza wa Jal. Be pious of Allah Azza wa Jal. وجانب النوم and leave or avoid sleeping and oversleeping. واترك الشبع and also being full, stuffed. وداوم على الدرس لا تفارقه and be consistent in studying or in studying and memorization. Do not leave this. فإن العلم بالدرس قام وارتفع, because it is through studying that knowledge actually will be attained. But the first verse has and good advice. باشر الورع. He says, if you are seeking knowledge, you'll be able to attain it. And Allah Azza will give it to you through wara, piety. And in fact, we can say that this is true about all knowledge, specifically religious knowledge. Because what are you asking, okay, with religious knowledge? You're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to give you an understanding. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to assist you in memorizing, to assist you in remembering. So if a person sins, then he is distant from Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah will not aid him, and will not protect him from the shaitan. So he'll be able to accomplish less and less because of his impiety. So impiety is an obstacle. And when a person is not pious, they sin with their eyes, they sin with their ears, they sin with their body, then those faculties of his are not equipped to actually attain the light of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the light that Allah has revealed in His book and the Sunnah of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will not be able to absorb them because they're being tainted. But if he's sincere and he stays away from the haram, then his ability to memorize improves. His ability to understand improves. His insight into the Quran and Sunnah improves. His distractions decrease. His energy and appetite to seek knowledge also increases. But if he finds that he is wavering and doesn't have the energy, doesn't have the desire, then there's a reason behind it. And that could be what? That a person had sinned. And there are two verses of poetry that are very famous and are always quoted when it comes to memorization. شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي وَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِي. It is said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ, that الشافعي, and الشافعي was amazing at memorization. Shafi'i was amazing in memorization, to the extent, right, that if he's going through a book, right, he would hide one of the pages in the book because he's reading, right? So he doesn't want his eyes to steal glances at the other page and memorize it before the page that he's reading. And this is how fast he would memorize. And with Imam Malik, rahimahullah, right, when he was a student of Imam Malik, and he would sit and he would write, he would just, you know, I don't remember exactly. He would write on something, or he would write on something that doesn't last. Like, let's say, on sand. Right? And he doesn't take anything with him home. So they thought, or his, you know, colleagues, companions, or maybe the sheikh thought, well, you're not serious. As he says, test me. So they tested him, and he memorized better than the people who were taking actual notes and taking the notes with them back home. So we have that level of incredible memorization. So these two verses of poetry, he says that شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ, I complained to Waqi' about my inability to memorize. فَأَرْشَدَنِي, he guided me to leaving all sin. وَأَخْبَرَنِي, and he told me, بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ, this knowledge is light. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ, the light of Allah is not going to be gifted to a sinner. So a sinner is further away from Allah's light. So you hear asking Allah Azza wa Jal, give me what you've revealed to your prophets, an understanding of it, a memorization of it, but yet you sin, that's not going to help you. So you need to stay away from it. And of course, in addition to it, like when you are pious, you're applying what you learn. And when you apply what you learn, it will be etched in your heart. You will not forget it. If you misapply or if you're going to neglect it, it's going to fly away. So you keep it in your heart, you keep it in your mind by applying the very thing that you have learned. This is how it stays. And he says, وَجَانِبِ النَّوْمَ وَتْرُكِ الْوَرَعَ, you know, don't oversleep and don't overeat, etc., etc. Another verse of poetry, he says, and this is, he adds to the manners or what is important in knowledge, وَأَيَّامُ الْحَدَاثَةِ فَاغْتَنِمْهَا أَلَا إِنَّ الْحَدَاثَةَ لَا تَدُومُ. He says, and take advantage of your young age, because that is not going to last for long. So when you're young, what do you have? What's the advantage that you have versus someone who's older? The older, when you get older, you're going to have certain advantages. But when you're younger, what is the advantage that you have when it comes to seeking knowledge? What is it? You said, someone pointed here, you have time. That's right. So let's go with that. First, you have time. Not as many distractions as when you get older. So when you get older, you get married, you have kids, you have debts, you have this and you have that. So when you're younger, if you take advantage of it, you have less distractions and more time to dedicate to knowledge. So time. Health, definitely. So you have more of your health with you. And you have more energy. That's included under health. You have more energy to spend on this and on that. Or going here and going back, or you know, staying up or whatever. When you get older, you get more tired. Sickness starts to assault you. But before that, you have health and you have that energy. And you point it to your head, and that's true. Clarity of mind. Connected to time. Clarity of mind. When you're older, you're thinking about so many things. And maybe we can add to it also some patience. Maybe when you're young, you can be more patient. Maybe more patient. When you're older, you have some elements of patience, but you lose another element of it. So you're not as patient as before. And one significant one is the ability to memorize. So you can really memorize when you're young, but you lose that ability when you're older. It doesn't mean that it vanishes. It's just memorization is like a muscle. Memorization is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it goes weak. If you exercise it, it regains its strength. So if you are in your 60s and 70s and 80s, it doesn't mean that you can't memorize. You've heard of example of people in their 60s and 70s and 80s memorizing the Quran, right? So is it ever too late? Never ever. Never ever. It is, as long as you are breathing, it's never late. It may be more difficult later on, but it's not impossible and it's not late. But that's what he's saying. Take advantage of your youth when you're young, because then you'll be able to accomplish more in them. And then when you get older, you'll have more advantages. You have experience, you have wisdom that you'll be able to, you know, couple with whatever you have learned and extract from it valuable treasures, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. And he says at the same time, right, he's pushing you. He says, you know, don't overeat, don't oversleep, be persistent, you know, toil and all of that. But he says, and also, don't overwork yourself in a way that weakens it. Don't overdo it, so that this will stop you from seeking knowledge or for stop you from worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. But you use caution or gentleness and kindness in this, because gentleness and kindness is a great principle. That is, he's telling you, be what? Balanced. Be balanced. Sometimes you're really enthusiastic and you really want to accomplish a lot and you put on yourself more than what you can bear and you collapse. He says, no, that's not the way. But seek moderation. Seek moderation. Feed your body and feed your mind. Give some time to Allah Azza wa Jal, but then when you're done, you can't study anymore, you can't memorize anymore, stop. You don't have to do this every hour of the day. Stop. And do something else that is useful. And if there's halal entertainment, go for halal entertainment. Go for physical exercise. Go and play basketball and this. Do that so that you're able to come back and study some more. So always have this balance in your life. It doesn't mean that I'm a student of knowledge. I'm a student of knowledge every single hour of the day. Or I'm a person of da'wah. I'm doing da'wah every single hour of the day. That I never really have fun. No, I do this and I do that. Right? And I gave you the example before of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their day. I said that in the morning after Fajr, they will sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning in the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in his musalla till sunrise, and the Sahaba will be in their musalla till sunrise, remembering Allah azza wa jal. Then after they pray, they sit together and they talk about their past jahiliyyah, funny stories in them. So they'll be laughing and the Prophet ﷺ will be smiling. So this is here, it's an interesting mix between both happening in the masjid of Allah Azza wa Jal. One, remembered Allah, there is Fajr, and then afterwards there's reading Quran, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, each doing, you know, his thing. Once they're done, they come together and they socialize and they talk. So it doesn't mean that if a prophet is a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning that he's giving da'wah every single minute of the day. That doesn't work if you are a human being. You need sa'a wa sa'a, sometime like this and sometime like that. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ala inna hadha ad-din matin fa awghil fihi birifq. He says, this religion is vast, and is strong. Vast and big and strong. فَأَوْغِلْ فِيهِ, delve into it gently. Yeah. Just like the sea. Huh? What happens with the sea? You see it and you say, you get so excited. And some of us know how to swim and some of us don't know how to swim. So before knowing how to swim, you just want to go and swim. What happens to you? You drown. You drown in it. Or you know how to swim, but you decide, this is the sea, I want to go to the end. You don't see where the end is, but you just go. And you keep swimming and swimming and swimming until you get so tired, and then what happens? You also drown. So it says religion is like that. There is so much of it. Just take one field. Just one field of discipline of study. Fiqh. There is so much in it that if you just decide, I want to know everything of fiqh, you know, in a week or in a month, you're going to drown in fiqh. And what does it mean to drown in fiqh? That you say, I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. It's way too hard and too complicated. But you and I have made it complicated. Why? Because we went into areas we were not ready for yet. I've not learned to swim that deep, but I want to swim that deep. And you say, it's so complicated and so dry and so this and so that. Well, who told you? You're not ready for it yet. Take aqidah. You can dive so deep in aqidah, you come out confused. Well, who told you that you're ready for this stage yet? You're not ready for it. So you need to take it in stages. So this all religion, seeking knowledge is included, but this all of religion is the same. Practice of religion is the same. You just have come back to Islam or just accepted Islam. Say, I want to do everything. In the beginning, you're going to take and honor yourself. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. In a month or 2 months or in 6 months or in a year, you're doing nothing. Because it's just going to simply backfire on you. Because you're not ready to carry all of this. So he says what? Take it gently. So the one who wants to seek knowledge all at once, knowledge will run away from him all at once. But if you take it once a day slightly or a little bit each day, then that will accumulate and that will stay with you. And that will be more likely for you to be able to continue because you want to do more of it the next day and the next day and the next day. If you find yourself taking so much of it that you say, I'm tired of it, okay, I'm bored, then you know that you've reached your limit or maybe beyond your limit and you need to retest what you're studying and how you are studying. There was something I wanted to say and I want to see if it was here or there. Maybe it was here. So the one thing, you know, that I wanted to add is that he's saying be persistent and keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking. Now, how do you know the difference between pursuing something that is of value and you're supposed to pursue, but it's hard and difficult, but you're not giving up because you want to get it. And that thing is yours and will be yours. And pursuing something that is of no use or is not going to be yours. Meaning you're trying and trying, but you're not seeing a fruit yet. When do you know how to stop? And when to stop and switch to something else? Or when to keep trying and, you know, pursuing this thing until you get it? Just like the example, knocking on the door until you're allowed in. Some doors are not going to open. And some doors are going to open. You follow me? So how do you know the difference between I should keep at this until I get it or I should quit and try something else because this thing is not mine? You know this, wallahu a'lam, through istikhara and istishara, praying to Allah Azza wa Jal and consulting people around you. Because in some of these areas, no one can tell you for sure, you should stop this and do something else. That may be difficult, you know. So some of the early accomplished, you know, ulama, for instance, a person goes and pursues hadith, let's say, or goes usul al-fiqh, finds it very difficult. tries and tries and tries, finds it very difficult. And they switch to grammar or to switch to something and they excel in it and they become among the leaders in that field. So here Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanAllah, did not facilitate or guide or assist in this area, but another area they became imams in it. If they were to continue knocking on this door, it was never going to open, or if it opens, they're not going to be able to do much with it. But they switch to another field, another study, and they excel. How do you know? Well, that lies into what? The unseen, the hidden. How do you know? You don't know unless you do these two things. One, istikhara. You ask Allah Azza wa Jal, should I keep doing this? Is this for me? And this applies to anything in life, by the way. Should I do this? Is this for me? And then you go and ask the experts, the wise. I've been pursuing this for this long, doing this, 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 this. Is this for me? Should I do it? Or should I change? So you ask the experts and you ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you keep asking, what will happen? What will happen? Allah will guide you. If you keep asking and you really keep asking and keep, Allah will guide you to what is best for you. If it is this thing, that Allah will open doors for you. And if it's not, that you're going to switch to something that will benefit you and will be for you. So sometimes no one person will have the answer. You'd have to go back to Allah Azza wa Jal and you need to ask Him, plus also a consultation, of course. And he also says, عَلَى قَدْرِ أَهْلِ الْعَزْمِ تَأْتِي الْعَزَائِمُ. He says, وَيَأْتِي عَلَى قَدْرِ الْكِرَامِ الْمَكَارِمُ. He says, in proportion to the people of determination, they will get what they want. And in proportion to the people of honor, they will receive honor. وَتَعْضُمُ فِي عَيْنِ الصَّغِيرِ صِغَارُهَا. He says, in the eyes of the little person or the little man, little things are great. But in the eyes of the great person, great things are small. What he means by it is that if a person is little in the sense of what? Of no aspirations. He has no aspirations at all. And no desire to put any effort. The small things are big. It's a big accomplishment. Or, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is just way beyond me. Why? Because I have no aspiration. No desire to put an effort in doing anything. So even the small thing becomes so big. But for the people who have this desire to accomplish and do great things, have himmah, even the great things become small and achievable. So he's saying that, have this himmah, have this aspiration. Al-jiddu wal-himmatu al-aliyah. He says, if your himmah, if your aspiration, if your intention is, he gives the example. He says, I want to study or memorize the books of Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, one of the Hanafi scholars. He says, and if you do this, وَاقْتَرَنَ بِذَٰلِكَ, this is your aspiration, and you couple this with an intention, persistence, and consistency, you're going to read or memorize most of them or at least half of them. But if you only have aspiration but no effort, or an effort but no aspiration, you're not going to get anything. He says, where do you want to go? So he's telling you to aim high, the highest that you can. What is it that you want to do? He says, if you say, I want to memorize, this is the example. Let's use the Quran. You say to yourself, I want to memorize the Quran. If you put your limit that I want to memorize a juz, okay, this is your limit. How much of it are you going to memorize? The best is what? Juz. The worst is what? Maybe nothing. Or if you memorize 25%, half of a juz, that's it. You're not going to do much. Why? Because this was my goal. My goal is juz. But if you say to yourself, why is memorizing the whole Quran beyond me? Why is it? What am I lacking? If I ask Allah to assist me, it does not matter whether you know Arabic or not. You can read Arabic or not. It does not matter. But you say, I can ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assist me. And if Allah Azza wa Jal says yes, can anything stop it? No. And if I put as much effort as I can, what is stopping me from memorizing the Quran? So what is my intention now? To memorize what? The whole thing. So if you make your intention to memorize the whole thing, you're likely to memorize the whole thing, or if not, most of it. Because that's the end. But you need, with this plan, you need what? Effort. It's not like, wallahi, one day I wanna memorize the Quran. One day. When is that gonna happen? One day I wanna go to space. Right? I haven't applied. I'm not physically fit. I'm not even exercising. I don't know how, but one day I wanna go to space. It's always gonna remain a dream, huh? But it's not gonna be reality. So memorizing the Quran is easier than going to space. So you say, I wanna memorize the Quran. Good. Now, what are the practical steps that you're gonna take to memorize the Quran? Or to read the Quran's tafsir, or to memorize Riyadus Salihin, whatever it is that you wanna do, or read Fathul Ba'i, whatever it is that you wanna do. But if you say, I want that, and you're serious about it, you say, okay, now that I'm serious, okay, what am I going to do today, and then tomorrow, and after, to be able to reach that goal? And you take the steps, and then you'll be able to do it. So don't, as they say, demean yourself or belittle yourself. لا تحقرن نفسك. Don't put yourself down and say, I can't. You say, I can, and I want to do it. And inshallah, Allah will assist me, because I will can I keep asking Him, and I will do my best. And the beautiful thing, beautiful, beautiful thing is that if you die on the path of trying to do something, it'll be counted as if you have done it. As long as you are trying. As long as you're trying. And this is beautiful in anything, any religious thing that you want to do. You know, da'wah, right? You know, I don't know who's working on da'wah or who's working on teaching people, but say that you're inviting non-Muslims to Islam, you know, and says, okay, what is your intention? So my intention is I want to just guide one person. It's beautiful to guide one person, but why is that your intention? What should your intention be? Give us. With a himmah. More. Come on, give me a number. Huh? Whole of Toronto. Tayyib, all of Toronto, right? Million plus, right? Yeah. Million people or more. Why not make that your intention? Like actually, seriously, your intention. Because who knows, subhanAllah, if you actually make that your intention and you pray to Allah Azza wa Jal and you start thinking about it and talking to other people, that somehow Allah will open a door like this for you. And from it, you'll be able to do some of that. Who knows? And maybe you won't be able to see this while you're still alive, but you have created the path, the work, the framework, or the groundwork for that to happen. So you're dead, but the people are, you know, benefiting from what you are doing, and then you're just cashing in, right? While you're just in your and under that, and you're just getting all those people accepting Islam because of an intention that you had. I want a million people to accept Islam. Because once you start actually being serious about it, you get excited, isn't it? This is a possibility? Yeah, it is a possibility. Now start thinking about ways to do this. And it could be anything. I want to help people in the community. I want to help the youth. I want to help the elderly. Think really big. Think really, really, really big. And then of course, when you're going to start planning for it, you're going to start planning small. But with that goal in sight, I want to do something big. At least when we die, it will be that we die why Allah Azza wa Jalla has written that we are pursuing that goal. And so Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, you know, when, you know, there were two pieces of poetry he used to repeat by Imru al-Qais, baka sahibi lamma ra'a darba dunahu wa ayqana anna lahiqani bi qaisara faqultu lahu la tabki aynuka innama nuhawilu mulkan aw namutu fanu'dara. He says, Imru al-Qais with his companion, he says, while we are on the path to go and meet Caesar, okay, the Roman emperor. So he said how long the path was and how difficult their task was. He says he started crying. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ, I told him, do not cry. لَا تَبْكِ عَيْنُكَ إِنَّمَا نُحَاوِلُ مُلْكَ. He says, we're going there to retrieve our power, our kinship. So either we reach or we die, and they excuse us for trying. It does not matter whether we reach or not. This is what the Sheikh was saying. This is what I want. This is what you and I want. It doesn't matter whether we reach or not. It matters that we're on what? The path, trying. So either we reach, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, or we die, namut, fanu'dhara. They'll excuse us that we at least we tried. We tried on the path. The problem is that when we don't try, we give up even before trying. So you need to try. So okay, what is your aspiration? So let this inshallah be something that we get from this halaqa tonight. If you get this from it, yani alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. What is your aspiration in life? Have one. And I want you to really think really, 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 really big. Okay, beyond you. Beyond you. I can only do this, beyond you. Think, not bima yaliqu bik, but bima yaliqu billah. Not, you know, what is appropriate for you, what is appropriate for Allah Azza wa Jal, that He can give. So what is it that you want to do? So think really big. In your field, in your area, I want to do this. And if you don't know, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for that. Like, I don't know exactly what is it, should I, this or that. Ask Allah to grant you that insight. And keep asking, He'll give it to you. And then once you have it, and it fills you with excitement, and you have hope, then you start now planning, how is it that I can accomplish this? And as I said, start small. But always with an eye for that big thing that you want to do. Every small thing that you're doing is building up towards that big thing. And consult. If you're not sure about it, consult. So he says, here is this story, and he says, and it may not have happened, but just the moral of it is that it says that Dhul Qarnayn, the one that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, he says when he wanted to travel and control the east and control the west, he says consulted with the scholar or the wise people around him. So he has a council and he consulted with them. And that's here the importance of consultation, even if you are very wise. He says, why should I travel seeking this amount of power? And this world is fleeting. Indeed, you know, this is something that is foolish. These are not high aspirations, meaning that if I'm going to put all that effort to travel east and travel west simply just to have physical control of something in this life, well, whatever I'm going to gain, I'm going to lose. So what kind of aspiration is this? This is low aspiration, not high aspiration. So they told him, go and travel to seek the power of this life and the hereafter, the mulk of this dunya, but the mulk of the akhirah. So he says, yes, this is better. And don't make your intention only this dunya, they're telling him. Because of course, as he said, whatever I get from it, this is going to leave. But he says, make your intention that whatever you're going to get here is for the sake of the hereafter. He says, that stays. He says, yes, that's an aspiration. That's ulul himma, something that will never leave me. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu yuhibbu ma'ali al-akhlaqi, وَيَكْرَهُ سِفْسَافَهَا. His Allah Azza wa Jal loves the loftiest of manners and hates the lowliest of them. So any manner, this is, you know, incredibly comprehensive. And you can take it and by it, you'll measure anything that you say and anything that you do. مَعَالِيَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, the noblest of character. What is considered noble in Islam? And then what is considered noble among people in your society that does not contradict Islam, that is the noblest of character that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. So if you find this is how a person adopts good character. First, he learns good character from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what is the lowliest of characters? From the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you know the religious boundaries and parameters. This is what is right, this is what is wrong. Then you look into your own society and you consider what they consider to be noble and what they consider to be ignoble. So you take what they consider to be noble. If it does not contradict something Islamic, you also adopt that as well. Right? And if whatever they consider to be low, if it does not contradict Islam, you avoid that as well. So this is how you actually attain the best of character. So that among people, alhamdulillah, you are always aspiring to be the person with the greatest character. Not to impress, but to please Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm just seeing here. This one verse is a poetry. He says, فَلَا تَعْجِلْ بِأَمْرِكَ وَاسْتَدِمْهُ, etc., etc., inshallah. He says, yani, basically, don't be impatient in whatever you want to accomplish. وَاسْتَدِمْهُ فَمَا صَلَّ عَصَاكَ بِمُسْتَدِيمِ. He says, when you want to fix something, when you want to fix one of your sticks, this is the way that they used to do it. They would take the sticks and they would put it on the fire and be patient, patient until it is smooth. So he says, anything of importance that you want to fix, that you want to use later, it takes time for it to actually be fixed. So he says, be patient with yourself and be patient with whatever you do, and don't procrastinate, and do not let go, and be always be consistent. Now, so skip a little bit here. Avoid laziness, etc., etc. So we'll skip over that. He says, رَضِينَ قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْأَعْدَاءِ مَالُ. He says, we are satisfied with how Allah Azza wa Jalla has divided His favors. We have knowledge, but our enemies, they have money. But he says, فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. But the money will soon depart. وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ يَبْقَى لَا يَزَالُ. But knowledge remains and does not leave. That is, when you find yourself that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you, if it happens that I'd given you knowledge but not wealth, or wisdom but not prestige in this life, don't think that you've been denied, because these worldly things do not stay. So this is not an indication of real favor. If someone is rich or someone is famous, that in itself could be a curse, by the way. And when you look at some people on from the outside, and you see how impressive their life is. So-and-so is rich. So-and-so is famous. So-and-so can go here and go there and buy this and buy that. That in itself could be a curse, because they have these things and they don't know what to do with them. So that ends up destroying their lives. It ends up destroying, eating them up from the inside. And they become, subhanAllah, addicted to this and depressed because of that. These are real problems. So all of these things that Allah had given you didn't help. And actually, they increased your trouble. So he says, رَضِينَ, we are satisfied with what Allah had given us, because we understand that these other gifts are not real gifts, especially when you don't know what to do with them. But if Allah had given you knowledge, it remains with you. How long does it remain? It remains with you here. It goes with you in your grave, right? And it goes with you when you are resurrected. It is still with you. Huh? So the people of knowledge in this dunya are the people of knowledge in the hereafter. That does not leave them. But the rich here, there's no money over there, right? So you don't get to keep that. But the knowledgeable here, as people need them here, people also will need them in the hereafter as well. And he says here, he says, الجاهلون موتى قبل موتهم والعالمون وإن ماتوا فأحياءوا. He says, the ignorant are dead before their death. And the knowledgeable, even if they die, they're still alive. And that is very interesting. So someone dies and he's a scholar, and he has died for more than 1,000 years, and you're still talking about him. You still quote what he says, and you still make dua for him, right? While an ignorant person who's still alive, but his life is like death because it produces no benefit. What's the difference between the dead and the living? What's the difference between them? The dead can bring no benefit. Cannot benefit themselves, and they cannot benefit you, but the living can. So if a person is ignorant and he's still alive, and he does not benefit anyone around him and does not benefit even himself, but brings harm, that's worse than the dead or not. That's worse. For that person, if Allah does not rescue him, if that person does not wake up, living is worse than death. Because the longer that he lives, the more that he earns something that destroys his life and brings him Allah's anger. So he says, if you are not alive, if you are not knowledgeable, you're living like the dead. You're living like the dead. You don't know what's right, you don't know what's wrong. Your heart is dead, but you don't know that. You are, harming people around you, but you don't care. That is a dead person, right? But in the image of a living person. Whereas people in their graves, they can be as if they are alive. No. And he says also here, وَحَيَاتُ الْقَلْبِ عِلْمٌ فَاغْتَنِمْهُ وَمَوْتُ الْقَلْبِ جَهْلٌ فَاجْتَنِبْهُ. He says the life is really the life of the heart. And he says the life of the heart is a knowledge, so seize that. And the death of the heart is ignorance, so avoid it. And subhanAllah, that is true. That is, that true life is the life of the heart. And true death is the death of the heart, not of the body. Right? So what the reason why we are learning and we're supposed to be learning all of this is because it can affect our hearts, can change them, can make us better and closer to Rabbil Alameen. It can affect our behavior because the heart there is sensitive. Sensitive to Allah's commands, sensitive to the good and bad things that is happening to him, sensitive to people's needs. That's a heart that is alive. But when the heart is dead, it's insensitive to all of this. Doesn't care if people are suffering or not, doesn't care if Allah is happy or not, doesn't care if he's on the right path or not. That's the dead heart. So the living or the life and the death of the heart is what Allah Azza wa Jal loves, right? And let's see, inshallah, here. Yeah, he mentions here in some of the verses, he says, how it is that through knowledge that people will be able to intercede on the day of judgment and extract people from hellfire. So if you attain this knowledge, you've attained all good in this dunya and in the akhirah. Really, this is all good. Huwa al-mansib al-ali. And he says, interestingly here, Huwa al-mansib al-ali ya sahib al-hijja. That is, if Allah grants you knowledge, that is the highest position that you can attain. Idha niltahu, hawwin bifawti al-manasibi. He says, if you attain that, don't care about losing other positions in life. Don't care. So-and-so has the title, so-and-so has the position, so-and-so has the salary. And you look at it sometimes you say, I could have been that, right? I could have been this famous. People could give me this title before my name. People could have respected me. All of these things. And sometimes you could be weak and wish for it. He's saying, if Allah gives you what he loves, forget about titles and forget about, worldly positions, because that's not what's important. In fataka dunya wa tibu na'imiha. It says, if you miss out on the comfort of this life and the luxuries of this life, faghammid, look the other way or close your eyes. Don't look at it. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ خَيْرُ الْمَوَاهِبِ. Because Allah had given you the best thing. Allah had given you the best thing. And it is, subhanAllah, it's a part of ingratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah would give you something beautiful, and you turn away from it and wish for something inferior. Something, a lot worse than it. So it says that's not the way to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes the dunya is going to come and knock, or you look at something in it and you would wish for it. And if I just had pursued it, I would have been this and this and this and that in this dunya. I missed out on being rich and having a big home and having a title and having, I don't know what. He says, I missed out on all of this. But you have not really missed out on any of it. If Allah gives you what he loves, then you've got everything. Because Allah can't compensate you for everything. And he says, فَأَوَّلُ الْعِلْمِ إِقْبَالٌ وَآخِرُهُ. He says, when you seek knowledge, and this is something to keep in mind, that it has its own beauty and its own satisfaction and its own sweetness. The beginning of seeking knowledge, when you learn something new, when you discover a question, an answer to a question that you always had, you solve a complexity, you're able to answer a controversy through seeking knowledge, there's an immense satisfaction in it. So there's beauty in it in the beginning and beauty in it in the end. And the one who tastes the sweetness of seeking knowledge, that itself will become an incentive. Then he says, and this is the last thing inshallah we'll mention, he says, people can become lazy, and this laziness could happen because, he mentions, he goes into some biology, because of phlegm and mucus and moisture in the body, etc., etc. But anyway, that does not matter as much. What matters is that some of the advice that he gives, he says, you can control laziness by eating less. Again, not starving yourself, but by eating less. And he says also using the siwak, because using the siwak is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, and reading the Quran. And tariqatu taqlil al-akli, he says, how can you eat less? He says, you look at the benefits of eating less and the harms of overeating. meaning that the less that you eat, as long as what you're eating is balanced, it says you'll be healthier, and then you're not going to have to pursue the dunya more and more, because the more avarice you have, the more that you have to pursue the dunya, because you have to pay for your own cravings. If I have to eat the best of food, I have to earn a lot of money to pay for that habit. If I have to ride the best of cars, I have to earn a lot of money to pay for that habit. So he says, if you eat less, if you separate from the dunya up to a degree, then you don't need as much of it as can. Wal ithar. You're not going to love the dunya as much, so you can give away some of it to those who need it. So he says, fa'arun thumma arun thumma aru. He says, disgrace, disgrace, disgrace for someone who toils in this dunya simply for food. And if you think about it, if you're not toiling, if you're not working hard in this dunya for the akhirah, you're working hard for food. Isn't it? You think about it? Yani, you want to be famous for what? Right? And be able to be rich, right? And you're being rich for what? To pay for the necessities. And what is the greatest of those necessities? Is to eat. So basically that, you're living and working and working and work just to eat and eat. So he says, think about it, what a disgrace that Allah had made you, this special human being, special creation of Allah, and the only thing that you're living for is because I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat, right? Meaning satisfying this desire, and nothing more and greater than that. You lived your whole life because I was hungry and I wanted to eat, I thirsty and I wanted to drink. That's it. And I wanted to own some, you know, beautiful things. Simply that, he says, that's a disgrace. You have wasted your life. And then you look at, you know, the problems with overeating, this, then, you know, al-amrad, it gives you sickness, and it also makes you dull. Dull in the sense that you're not sharp enough to be able to read and understand. وَقِيلَ الْبِطْنَ تُذْهِبُ الْفِطْنَ. Overeating or being fat goes away with intelligence. So, I mean, yani, in a sense that the more that you eat, the less that you'll be able to study, the less be able to think, and the less time that you'll be able to give to serious matters. In addition to, وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا إِتْلَافُ الْمَالِ, يعني wasting money as well, and eating beyond, you know, what you need is complete harm, he says in it. So in general, يعني, this is the end of it, inshallah, for this chapter. So in general, he is saying that, be persistent, aspire to achieve great things, put the effort to achieve those things, and also leave the distractions, which includes, you know, oversleeping, overeating, being lazy, not having a plan. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish in life, as long as it pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, put an effort so that you can achieve it, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for support. But don't just simply ask for support and do nothing. Ask for support and have a plan for it, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we're close to Isha, but not there yet. So you have questions about anything that we said today? No? Got a last scan?